CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. We start hour number three. It's going to be a busy one. Coming up in about 20 minutes, I've got Jay Wright, the head coach at Villanova. I'm broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Talked at the end of the hour of that one anonymous NFC scout who said he would pass on Sam Darnold because, quote, he has bad face. What are we talking about now? Dudes getting plastic surgery instead of working on their 40s? Or whatever it takes, I guess. This guy knows what it takes. We're joined right now by a Baltimore Raven. He had three tackles in Week 13 in the win over Detroit, a couple of tackles and an interception in Week 12 in the win over Houston. He was undrafted in 2010 out of Tennessee State. The Ravens grinding away. They're 7-5. They're second in the AFC North. They're right in the middle of things, and they've got that showdown coming up this week at Pittsburgh Sunday. We are joined by Raven Anthony Levine Sr. Anthony, it's great to have you on. How are you?
And I'm good. How you doing?
Anthony, I'm great. It's nice to have you on the show. Thank you for doing it. You've won three straight. You've won four out of five. I got to first ask, what's the vibe like in your locker room right now?
Oh, man, it's all positive. Everybody knows that we got a goal that we're working for. And then we focus, and, you know, we all ready for Sunday. You know, we're preparing, everybody ready, and the atmosphere is great.
And I mentioned back in Week 12, you had that interception in the win over Houston. It sealed the game. It was your first career interception. How did it feel to come through with a big play in such a big moment?
Man, it was amazing. You know, my teammates and my coaches, they really depend on me to come in on third down and situations in the 2 minutes to come in and just play ball and to be able to make plays. So to go ahead and get that game with an interception, man, it was the best. You know, my teammates were happy for him, my coaches were too, but it's always great when you can go ahead and end the game.
Baltimore Raven DB/linebacker Anthony Levine Sr. is my guest. You know, to understand an interception like that, we got to talk about your journey, which I will in a minute, but I can't let this go by without talking about the celebration after the interception, or maybe the lack of a celebration. You guys had a plan to do a celebration, but once the moment happened, it seemed like you kind of forgot what you were supposed to do. What happened?
Man, like, you know, it was my first interception, so we usually don't plan our celebrations, but this one, we had it planned. It was Monday night. It was like, man, we're going to go out there. We're going to turn up. So, you know, I got my interception, and Eric Weddle and Tony, everybody surrounded me, and I'm like, all right, wait, I'm about to do it. Wait, everybody, wait. And Eric telling me to do it, and then I just completely just shut down, man. Like, I was so overwhelmed with my interception that I completely bombed on the celebration. So, yeah, man, I messed it up. But Aaron got his interception last week against Detroit, and he ended up doing it. So, you know, we ended up getting it done. But, man, I totally bombed on the celebration.
My man, I could see it happening. You'll be ready the next time it happens, but I could see where that might happen. And I think the listeners will better understand when we talk about how this all came to be. If we go back a little bit, the moment was a long time in the making, because coming out of high school, you went to Tennessee State, you got an opportunity there, and you capitalized on it. But what was your time like at Tennessee State?
Man, my time, I was there with Dominique Rogers-Cromartie. And just been around guys like him really, really helped me grow as a player. You know, when you come out of high school, you're thinking you're just, you know, you're one of the best. But then when I met Dominique, when I met DRC, man, he's a crazy athlete, but you know, he taught me some things, took me under his wing, and my experiences in college, man, it was the best. You know, going to a great historical black college, small school, nobody really talked too much about it. But you know, we got athletes there, you know, and I had a great time, man. I would love to go back if I could.
Right, we all would. Anthony Levine Sr. joining us. We'd all go back to college if we could. Now, you come out of college and you're undrafted, and you signed with the Packers, and you were a tryout guy. Mike McCarthy came into the room at one point and said, we only have room to keep three guys, and you're going up against guys from much bigger schools. And then you get the word from Reggie McKenzie that you're staying. What was that moment like for you?
Oh, man. So when Coach McCarthy came in the room, and he's saying that, you know, like you said, there's guys from the SEC, guys from the Big Ten, I mean, guys is all Americans, and I'm sitting up here. I'm like, man, there's no way they're going to keep me, you know. So I'm just like, oh, man, well, you know, I got to get this out, you know. And then when Mr. McKenzie came, can't get me if I got on that shuttle to go back to the hotel. Man, my heart just dropped. Like I couldn't believe it. I was just amazed, and it was a blessing. Like I'm calling my mom, like, Mom, I made it. You know, like, I didn't make the team yet, but I was just so excited to be going into training camp because, you know, I was a tryout guy. So, it was so overwhelming, man. It was great. I felt like, you know, I accomplished something, and it was just a beginning to unbelievable journey to where I'm at now.
It is. Baltimore Raven Anthony Levine, my guest. Part of that's mindset, though, right? I mean, because the odds of you still being in the league all this time later were pretty remote, but you've done it, and you said that being at Tennessee State taught you how to grind. Lay it out for me. What's your attitude when it comes to the grind?
Yeah, when you come from a small school, you know, not too many people talk about you. So you have to go out there, you know, try to make a name for yourself. So every day you got to go out there and prove something. So coming from Tennessee State, you know, we got to do that every day. You know, we got to go out there, we got to make a name for ourselves. So even like now, you know, Terrell Suggs, you know, he went to Arizona State, so he be talking about his school, and CJ Mosley, he talking about Roll Tide, Alabama. They always win a championship. So every day I got to go out there and say, I went to Tennessee State. And I got to show them that, you know, we got ball players at Tennessee State. So, man, every day I go out there with a chip on my shoulder to show that, you know, that just because I come from a small school, I can still play ball. You know, I came in 2010. Man, I didn't outlast it, you know, first rounders. But it's just a dedication to my hard work and also my coaches believing in me. You know, it's been nothing but a blessing.
Anthony Levine, Sr., my guest. So you start your career with the Packers. You end up going to Baltimore, and obviously you feel like that's the right place and the right team for you. And then when you arrive in Baltimore, you're playing defense, which means you're going to go up against Steve Smith, Sr. What was it like going up against him in practice?
Man, when you're going against a Hall of Fame player like Steve Smith, it's not going to do nothing but make you better. You know, you're going to step up to the plate or you won't. And that's what it is when you're in practice with Steve. So every day we come up, man, you gotta make sure that you know that your hammy's warm, that you're ready to get in a fist fight today in practice, cause Steve, he gonna bring it. He bring it every day in practice. So every time that me and him was out there, you know, we kind of went at it, and he didn't do nothing but make me better. He taught me things to look for. He taught me how to play corner, because I might have to start a few games at corner, and I never played corner before. So I'm out there going head to head with Steve in practice, and he's talking to me, working, we going at it, and he's telling me like, man, you know, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, you gotta watch this, and you gotta be able, you know. So man, just going with him every day in practice has made me a much better player and made me better all around.
So when did you feel like you earned his respect? Because that is not easy respect to earn. Once you earn it from him, I got to think you've got it. When did you earn it from him, and did you get a sense that the other players and coaches were taking notice during those battles?
Yeah, one day, man, Steve came out to practice, and he was calling all our corners out. He was calling everybody out. And, you know, not too many, nobody really stepped up to him. So, you know, I was like, man, you're not going to do that to me, you know. And he was like, well, what's up? So I went out there, and me and him went on one-on-one drills. And we went like three times, you know. He won two, I won one. So we kind of went back and forth. But that last rep that we went, you know, we went at it. And every time Steve went, he'll you know, spin the ball. So he ended up catching the ball. He spun, and I kicked it. And I kicked the ball, like, man, whatever. Like, let's go again. So from that moment right there, man, just battling with him in that moment, you know, me and his friendship just went to a whole different level. And he saw that competitive drive in me. And, now to this day, you know, we're really good friends. But right there, once me and him went at it in the one-on-one drill, we went back and forth. I think that's when I gained his respect, because I didn't back down from him. I didn't back down from him. I went head-to-head with him, and he respected that, and he liked that. Like, he wanted to be competitive, and he wanted to be able to go at it with somebody. And he knew that if he come to practice, he knew that 41, Anthony Levine was going to step to him, and we was going to go. We was going to battle. If he was going to win, I was going to win. We was going to go at it. And every day, since that day forward, man, me and him has been, you know, we've been together, we've been, you know, good friends.
Man, that's such a good story. Anthony Levine joining us. I love that story. And that part about him, look, I'm a media guy, so what's it matter? But I've always thought when he spins the ball like that, man, that is cold-blooded. I love that move. But if you're a defensive player and a receiver makes a play on you and he spins the ball like that, how's that make you feel?
Man, I hate that spin. Wait, when he does it to somebody else, I love it.
Right.
When he does it to somebody else, man, I love it. But when I don't want that done on me. When I go out there and go out Steve, like, he's telling me, you're not spinning the ball on me today. I don't want anybody, even Mike Wallace, he do it too. But when they spin the ball on you, they basically tell you you can't guard me. And every time they're gonna keep spinning the ball on you. So I think that's total disrespect. You know, but with Steve, you know, I definitely didn't want him to spin the ball. He spin the ball, and when he spin the ball, I don't know how he's doing. Well, he's spinning his ball spin for like 5 minutes.
Dude, right?
I'm like, man, damn.
No, exactly. I've always wondered how he did that. I've never known how he does that. I just think it's like the coolest thing ever. But again, he didn't do it to me. So I think I know what you're saying. Anthony, before you go, let me ask you this. You earlier this week, you tweeted prayers up for Ryan Shazier. And I think that you guys understand what you sign up for when you step on that field. But what went through your mind when you saw his injury?
Man, so we watching the game, and as soon as it happened, I immediately tweeted, you know, the prayer hands. And then I came back and tweeted, you know, prayers up for Ryan Shazier, because, man, you never want to see that with nobody, with no player, no matter what team they on. You know, you never want to see that. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, man, that don't look good. Like, it didn't look good at all. And I just immediately, man, I tweeted that out, and, you know, I said a prayer for him. Because it doesn't matter, man. We all family. You know, we might play against each other, competition. We might be rivals. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a game and it's football. And it's, you know, we're a family. So we never want to see nobody go out there and get hurt playing this great game that we love. You know, so when I seen that, man, I was heartbroken. I'm just like, man, like that's not good, you know. So I just want to make sure that I send a prayer out to make sure that you know, God could heal him and just keep his hands over him and just protect him.
You know, it's a dangerous game, and you know that, and there are risks that are inherent in that game, and you know that too. But when you see something like that, does it scare you at all? And have you ever thought maybe twice about playing the game and how dangerous it is?
Man, when I seen that hit, man, I was like, man, like that's, that was just one of those, dang, I can't believe that this happened. But I do think about it. You know, it have crossed my mind. You know, like, wow. It's a dangerous game that we play, and we know, you know, it's a contact sport, and we know what we're getting into when we play it. You know, but at the end of the day, you don't want to see hits like that. You don't want to see somebody hit with a crown and helmet, you know, and you don't want to see somebody go down like that. But we know what kind of game this is, and we know how to play it. You try to play it on a safe way, but sometimes you just go out there and you just play ball, and whatever happens out there, it happens. But you never want to go out there and try to hit and, you know, get yourself hurt. But, man, it's dangerous, man. And I just always, you know, ask God to help to cover both teams and every player on the field as we go out there and play this dangerous game that we play. But we both know, everybody know the consequences, and it's tough, man, but you never want to see that.
Anthony Levine Sr., a DB and linebacker for the Baltimore Ravens. Great story. They're 7-5. They're second in the AFC North. Big game against Pittsburgh. Anthony, my man, you nailed it. What a great job. Great to have you on the show. Thank you very much, and really good to talk to you, Anthony.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Great talking to you. Have a great day. Really appreciate it. That was fun. That was a really, really good interview. Like I said, the Ravens are a great jungle team. We get great players off that team to come on the show, and they show up like he does. I always look forward to it. It's a weird deal. I'm not sure why that is. But even in the college ranks, there are just certain teams or certain programs that have lots of good players that are really interesting. I've got Jay Wright coming up momentarily. Major, major breaking story in baseball. According to the LA Times, Shohei Ohtani has signed with the LA Angels, according to Bill Shakin of the LA Times on his verified Twitter account. Ohtani's agent said, quote, "What mattered to him most wasn't market size, time zone, or league, but that he felt he had a true bond with the Angels. He sees this as the best environment to develop and reach the next level and attain his career goals. All right, this is an unbelievable signing for the Angels. You know, what's the rap been against the LA Angels? Mike Trout needs help. Mike Trout is in the middle of a Hall of Fame career. Mike Trout's going to go down as one of the greatest players ever. He can't do it all by himself. He needs some help. And now they've got some help. The Angels last year finished 5 out of the AL wildcard chase. And remember, this guy is the Japanese Babe Ruth. There have been other players who've come over, but nobody quite like this guy. A 100-mile-an-hour plus fastball, a better strikeout rate than Clayton Kershaw, but on top of that, the home run derby champ in the Japanese League. A left-handed power stick that scouts have compared to Bryce Harper. So a better strikeout rate than Clayton Kershaw, but a stick that scouts compared to Bryce Harper. 6'4", 220-pound, two-way freak. And the hype train, powered not just by fans or the media, but by MLB teams. They were in a battle for the right, just a bid for his rights. So that's a huge signing by the Angels. All right, more on that coming up a little bit later on. When we come back, Jay Wright joins me in the next segment. And you know that last segment of the last show of the week is always busy. You Raven fans want to come in here and talk about your team being a jungle team, you go ahead and do it. We're talking Villanova basketball, though, when we come back.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. I think it goes without saying, I always look forward to this one. We are joined right now by the head basketball coach at Villanova. He is a 2-time National Coach of the Year. He led Villanova to the 2016 National Championship. He led Villanova to a 4th straight Big East regular season title. He is a 5-time Big East Coach of the Year. He will receive the John R. Wooden Award, Legends of Coaching Award, in April. Villanova's number 4 in both polls. They're 9-0. They host LaSalle on Sunday. Jay Wright is my guest. Jay, it's great to have you back. How are you?
How are you, Jim? Good to talk to you, buddy.
You too, Jay. Great talking to you. Thanks so much. Jay, you're coming off that win over number 12 Gonzaga at Madison Square Garden on Tuesday night. I know, Jay, it's only the start of December, but when you beat another elite team like that, how big of a win was that, and how pleased are you with the way your guys showed up in that game?
Really pleased about that game. Gonzaga probably has played one of the toughest schedules of anybody in the country at this point. And so we got to see them against some really good teams, you know, Texas just being one of them, and Florida, and a lot of really good teams. So we knew that they were playing at a high level, and we really hadn't played the schedule that they had. So coming out of the Garden, it gives us a really good feel for where we are, how good we could be. And we get back to work and get ready for LaSalle Explorers.
Villanova head coach Jay Wright joining us. I got to ask you about Mikhail Bridges. He had a career-high 28. He had 5 threes, and he had a monster dunk in the lane that looked like it was over the entire Gonzaga team. The dunk itself, Jay, was a significant moment that I want to get to in a second, but what did you make of his performance overall?
You know, it's a continual progression of improvement for him from the day he stepped on campus. It's really cool to see. As a coach, it's one of the most gratifying experiences you have, is just watch a young man who has potential but maybe isn't physically ready or mentally mature when he first gets here, but you know he's got it. And then you see him reach it. And then to do it in the Garden against a great team like Gonzaga was really cool. I was really happy for him.
And then to see him throw one down like that, too. He said after the game, quote, ever since my freshman year, I've laid the ball up a lot, and coaches and the seniors, they used to get on me for that, end quote. Randy Foy, Kerry Kittles, Josh Hart, they all reached out to him after that dunk. What did they tell him? And then, Jay, what's it mean to you as the head coach to have former players reaching out to your current players like that?
I love how you research that stuff, man, because that's pretty cool. That's something that we take great pride in this program. You know, Josh Hart and the Lakers played here in Philly last night. So we all, the team went down to the game. We saw him before the game, took pictures with him on the court, and then stayed to watch. And he and Mikhail used to battle every day. And Josh would get the best of him. You know, Mikhail was the young boy. But Josh would always be the one to tell him, you know, if he took it soft, you got it. You know, that's not gonna fly if you want to be a big time player. And so, Josh texted him after the game, you know, finally young boy, and Kerry Kittles calls him his little brother. Kerry Kittles like, all right, little brother's playing hard on both ends of the floor. He loved that he dunked that and then went down and blocked the shot on the next play. So, you know, as the head of a program, I take as much pride in the fact that those guys stay connected and those guys take pride in each other's development, right? That means a lot to me, and really that warms my heart to hear that those guys reach out to him and are proud of him.
It's got to feel so great. Jay Wright joining us on the program. Now, Jay, when you look at it, I know you like this group, and one of the reasons you like this group is because you feel like this group, quote, gives you a chance to coach them. Lay that out for me. What do you mean by that?
Well, we're lucky here at Villanova. We get pretty smart guys, good character, and they do let you to coach. They let you coach them. But every group's, you know, got a little hard-headedness to them, and I have it to me. I'm hard-headed. But this group is just so unique in that they have such a high level of intelligence, and it starts with Mikhail Bridges, Jalen Brunson, and Phil Booth. There are three juniors. We don't have any seniors. But those three are all going to graduate here after their junior year. Really bright guys, come from great families, and they're just old school, and they just come every day to improve, and they kind of look you in the eye as a coach and say, all right, tell me what you want me to do, man. What do I got to do better? And that's rare. And then the young guys just watch them do that, and it just makes it easy to coach them. So it's a lot of fun going to practice every day with this group.
You know, it sounds to me like what you have then is a culture. Every coach I know talks about culture, but when you've got guys like that who lead from the front and they're the upperclassmen, and then the young guys see that and then they emulate that, then it becomes a culture. You wrote a book called Attitude, and when you develop that attitude or that culture in the program, it's something that does get passed down from the upperclassmen to the new players. My question then is this, Jay, once that dynamic is rolling, can you take your hands off it and focus on other things, or are you always working on culture and attitude?
That's a great question. In 09, I think, when we went to the Final Four in 09, I think I took my hands off it. I didn't mean to, but I think I did. And it slipped a little bit, and I learned a great lesson that we concentrated on getting that culture back rather than winning games, and we were very fortunate. And it started with Ryan Arcidiacono's freshman year and Daniel Chafu, and we were fortunate because sometimes you can't get it back, but we really did focus on that. And then after 16, winning the championship in 16, that was a great lesson learned, that our goal is just to keep this culture strong every day. That gives us our best chance to win another national championship, not to try to win games.
You know, I was going to say, not to be trite about that, but in a way, is the goal to win a national championship? I mean, yeah, obviously that's the goal, but is your goal to win a national championship, or is your goal to maintain the culture? Is that even more important?
Yeah, it is. And ironically, I think we've learned this, keeping this culture strong or making the culture stronger actually gives us at Villanova the best chance of winning another national championship. If we were just trying to do things to win games here, just the way this community is, this program is, the history of this program, it probably wouldn't work. It probably wouldn't fit, you know, the community. But to keep this culture strong, guys that come here that take pride in being a part of the Villanova community, take pride in being educated, and take pride in playing for their teammates and the guys that came before them, that's our best chance of being the best Villanova basketball team we can be.
Villanova head coach Jay Wright, my guest for another moment or so. Jay, Ryan Massimino passed away earlier this year. Is there any way to sum up the impact that he had on you as both a coach and as a person?
Wow, man. You know, I still miss him. I still can't believe, you know, he's not going to call, you know, and call me after a game and talk about something we did, or call me before one of his games and say, like, how did we defend those middle pick and rolls again?
Right.
You know, he coached right to the end. He has impacted this entire university. Every coach that's ever come through here, the women's coach here, Javi Peretta, has been here over 35 years. Coach Mass was his mentor. Myself, all of the guys that worked under me, all of them learned under Coach Mass. It's amazing to see the impact that one man has had on an entire community. You know, and he did it at Cleveland State, and he did it at Kaiser University, where he is. He was an amazing man, and he lived hard right to the end, man, to the last day.
And he coached right until the end. I mean, Jay, won more than 500 games. You won a national championship. You've won a conference championship after another. I know you're focused on what's in front of you right now, but do you think you'll do the same thing? Do you see yourself coaching right to the end like he did?
You know what, Jim? I think about that a lot. I don't think so. I marvel at his energy. I would say that to him all the time. He'd come in here, you know, a week before he died, he's in here yelling and screaming and wanting to go out to dinner and eat pasta and drink wine. I say to him, Coach, I don't even know if I have your energy now.
Right.
You know, I don't know if I'll have that. I think the way the game is now, you have to attack this with tremendous energy. So I don't think I would, but, man, I learned under him. So maybe, I don't know, I hope I got a lot of his genes in me.
Well, what I was going to say, Jay, what is that? We all want that, right? We all want to think that we're going to still go to battle like that at that age. Is it genes or is it something else?
You know, it's definitely, it's an attitude. It really is. Like I joked with all the guys that played with him and coach, you know, if you coached for him or worked under him, he was tough, man. He demanded a lot out of you, and he'd work you to the bone till 11 or 12 at night, and then he'd make you go out to dinner with him at 11 or 12. He'd make a restaurant stay open, and you'd eat and drink till 2, 3 in the morning, and then he'd be back in the office at 7 or 8. So, you know, we all thought, like, man, this guy drives us. But we watched him battle cancer until his last day and continue to coach, continue to work hard, and we all said he always worked harder and did more than he ever asked us to do. And he set that example right to the end. I think he's real unique, and it comes from his passion. And I think a lot of it comes from his Italian heritage, too.
Jay Wright, head coach of Villanova. They're 9-0. They're number 4 in both polls. Another big game coming up against LaSalle on Sunday. Like I said, Jay, I always look forward to it. I appreciate you. Always appreciate you coming on the show, Jay. Thank you so much, and great to get caught up.
Always good to talk to you, Jim.
Jay, thanks so much. Sincerely, Jay Wright. Jay Wright is good, man. He is so smooth. He is just that. The book that he wrote, Attitude, I mean, you can see where it starts right there. Attitude. He just, to me, he's just so positive. Got great energy, always positive, and coming at it from the right place. Not a place of, like, intimidation, anger, fear. Just really, I mean, he'll push you hard, but with a great attitude. And a great guy to talk to. When we come back, one last segment. So it's been a big last hour. The Angels hit a home run. Hey, 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 hey-o! Good pun, huh? The Angels reportedly have signed Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese Babe Ruth. Once again, a guy that can run it up there over 100 miles an hour, but a guy who's been compared to Bryce Harper with a bat in his hands. That good. That much hype. All right, so we'll come right back in that last segment. Some thoughts on that. I've got the week that was from Alvy, who had himself a week, and time for more telephone calls. We've had a great day today. Josh Heupel, Anthony Levine, Jay Wright. I got to tell you, this show did itself. The show literally hosted itself today. It's a good day. Got the ATP coming up, but I do need a good question if you don't mind. Hit me up with a submission or two for the ATP. Time for a sports update. Sorry it's late. Here it is. All night. Ooh, staying up all night. Up all night. Let's do the ATP. The Ask the Pros. And, you know, it's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. I answer the question that you ask me, and you sign up and become an O-Rewards member today and earn $5 back for every $150 you spend. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Let's see what we have here. Andrew in Richmond asks, who are some of your inspirations and reasons for wanting to get into radio? Well, I can tell you the reason I wanted to get into radio is because I realized I was not going to be a pro athlete. The second I realized that, I decided to try and figure out a way to stay in sports, and I thought radio might be the way to go. Pretty simple stuff. Not a great story there. Like, wow, I'm not as good at baseball as I thought I was going to be. I guess I'm not going to be a Major League Baseball player. I know I'm not playing in the NBA. Definitely not big enough for that. I'm not going to play football. I did pick up a tennis racket. I did like tennis. Not good enough to play pro tennis. Damn, I'm not going to be a pro athlete. No way. I think I should be in radio. That's how that happened. As simple as that. In terms of some of my inspirations, you know, I just, growing up in Los Angeles, I listened to some of the great play-by-play people of all time. Vin Scully, Chick Hearn, Dick Amberg actually would do some play-by-play for the Angels when I was a kid, so that was fun. But the thing that I wanted to do, I wanted to be a talk show host, honestly. I never wanted to be a play-by-play guy. When I was coming up, there weren't talk shows per se. There wasn't this format. So everybody that I knew that I came up with that was in my major or in my field wanted to be a play-by-play person or a reporter, I wanted to host a show. So that was one advantage I had. There weren't a lot of shows to host, but I knew what I wanted to do, and I felt that if I ever got an opportunity, I would do it a certain way. So that was my one advantage. So that's why I wanted to get into radio, because I could not be a pro athlete. Alvin, are you ready to do what you do? Let's get to the week that was right now.
And for more insight on some of the league's hot topics, we get it over to Jim and his views from Rome. Take it away, Jim.
Broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studio, welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. Feeling strong, made my New York road trip back in Southern California, where I belong. It's great to be here. So the Buckeyes had to be feeling pretty good about themselves. A conference title from one of the two toughest conferences, plus three wins against the final top 20, surely meant that the Buckeyes were going to get in again, right? Both of them are so flawed. But go ahead, you can lose your over it if you want.
Alabama!
I'm just going to say that I can argue against both. So I'm not picking. That was a tongue.
Oh, Gronkowski with a cheap shot. That's
it was
terrible.
A bag what move. It was a dirty play.
Craziest stuff
that
ever.
That was one of those things. Crazy. That wasn't heat of the moment.
It was just frustration.
That wasn't something that just happened. That was something that he did.
What am I supposed to do?
Where's your shirt, sir? I don't know. Why are you barefoot, sir? I don't know. Why are you fighting with your wife, sir? Clay Matthews is my guest. Clay, what's it like to miss the lead?
It's embarrassing at first, you know, because you go and you get the touchdown and you think everybody's going to congratulate you for that, but all you hear are, you know, the boos from not having any hot. And it's been a long time since I was on the sophomore squad of Agoura Chargers.
Let's all say it with Marshawn. Ding, 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 sauce. Again, everybody. Ding, 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 sauce. I know you clones. You're going to ruin it with your Najee Davenport reference.
Najee likes to.
Najee Davenport
goes in a hamper.
Don't do it.
So you got your bag, but we didn't get our cut.
I'm pretty sure that a demo company just failed to demo something. That's like a sticker company putting up a bunch of things on the wall and it falling right off. Thank you, Alvy.
David Carr, are you kidding me? Does he have eyeliner tattooed around his eyes?
It is a gentleman.
Attention, Chief fan. Evacuate immediately. Please leave the building.
Please.
You know, I think it's Ryan Shazier.
He took a wallop.
I'll tell you, this is Juju Smith-Schuster.
I can't think of a scarier game that I've ever seen.
He leads with his helmet.
Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn is my guest.
You know, we always believe that, you know, we play meaningful football in December. And right now, it feels good. It feels good to be in the hunt.
I'm going to coach this team as long as my key card works.
If you're Ben McAdoo, coaching the New York Giants, you probably don't want to be dumping motor oil into your lettuce and gearing up in a clown suit every single day. Huge day in the jungle because we are back in Portland. So it's awesome to be back on in the 971. 102.9, 750
the game.
The game,
Doug!
I am pumped.
Great to have you back in the 503, man.
Thanks for getting back on the air, buddy. We appreciate you being here.
I apologize for us taking you off the air and replacing you with a racist who got ran.
It's pretty bad here without you.
Mr. Rome.
My friend talked me into going to something called a tour stop in Portland.
I said, you've never been up on that thing. Sir, I've been on this base for 10 years, and I've never gotten within 1,000 feet of the Blackhawk until right now, sir. And I said, and they're going to let me up in that thing? Sir! Flaps up or flaps down? Brian Fogel is my guest. Are we having this discussion about the IOC banning the Russian Olympic Committee from the 2018 Winter Olympics if not for you and your documentary Icarus?
100%. There would be no banning of Russia from the Olympics had Icarus not happened.
Tom Haberstroh is my guest.
Good. I'm sad to report, though, Jim, that I no longer have the mustache. I just had too many people just jumping all over me. So attracted. I'm sorry. I couldn't handle it anymore.
At Jim Go Rome. Ducks. Website, jimrome.com. Go,
Go Ducks!
How dare you? I would never say that.
Jim,
I feel like I got to ask a guy, hey, are you ready for me to hit you right now before I hit you?
For me, I'm not here to judge at all. I love the game. Are you kidding me? It's part of the reason I have my living is because of the game and I don't play the game. But I don't love the idea of my kid taking that kind of punishment.
Already had him pictured in the Denver Broncos uniform, you know? I honestly don't think if I can morally put my kid in that danger.
Guess what? You're soft and your kid's soft. Go play soccer.
Mike Hopkins.
I remember my brother. We're in the car. He's like, oh, my God, you got to hear this guy. His name's Jim Rome. He's the best broadcaster you ever hear. He's unbelievable.
You're a white Nissan Pathfinder, and we were driving around listening to you and just being on the show today. It's surreal, man.
Email.
Policeman, fireman, cab driver, coal miner. We know what we signed up for. Did you just throw cab driver in their war high school graduation tassels hanging from rearview mirrors? When things are bleak and they're dark, what do you need most? You need hope. Hope freaking solo.
I firmly believe that.
Hashtag hopes no. Hell yes. Hell yes.
Hey, man, can't be going around endorsing people for president, dude. You're supposed to be the media. You have to be impartial, bro.
This guy is nuts. We expect you to have an opinion.
What do you want from your talk show host? Do you want me to be impartial and stay the hell out of the fight and stay on the sidelines? Or is it okay for me to pick a candidate? Josh Heupel.
My breakfast was typically a donut with the Blair's hat. In a little bit, you remember Tango and Shoes back in the day?
You bet.
Sam Darnold.
Loopy motion, bad face, overrated. Wait, what? Bad face?
I mean, have you seen this guy's face?
Anthony Levine Sr. He spins the ball like that. How's that make you feel?
Man, I hate that. But when he do it to somebody else, I love it.
Right.
When he spin the ball, I don't know how he's doing it. When he's spinning his ball there for like 5 minutes.
Dude, right?
Man.
I love how you research that stuff, man.
Straight like that.
Tiger! Dumbass!
Ding Ding Sauce.
Ding Ding Sauce.
Whack me.
Band from Chicago.
Karma!
Calabasas is the real deal now.
Flaps up.
Who is it from?
Larry King Live.
Much love, Jim. Talk to you later, buddy.
102.9. 750 the game.
Wow.
Good night now!
Alvin, I'm not kidding. I know I say it every single week. That was one of my favorite ones ever. That was amazing. That was amazing. Alvin freaking DeLauro. Tweet at Alvin. Let him know what you think of that. That was amazing. I want to hear it again. I'm going to bump that again on the way home. Huge call brought to you by my pals at Blink. You see, you holiday shop online, but crooks holiday shop on your porch. Cops call them package pirates. I call them jerks. Scumbags. Stop the scumbags this holiday season by getting Blink Home Security Camera. Visit blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/Rome. You'll get 10% off right now. Blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/Rome. It is an awesome product. Blinkbeforeyoubuy.com/Rome. My thanks to all of my guests. Had a good day today, guest-wise. I want to thank you, clones, for stepping it up. You had a good day today. Pat yourselves on the back. Have an awesome weekend. See you next time. We're out.